Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. Welcome to worship here in our beautiful sanctuary, the place to be on Sundays. For anyone who might be listening and looking for a new church home or just one to visit, we're located at 4071 North Foster Road. Come and worship with us any Sunday at 10:30. Everyone is welcome. The opening scripture for this morning is taken from Psalm 104, and it reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover yourself with light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a curtain." You laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the voice of your thunder, they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not ever pass, that they may not return to the earth. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. The great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There are ships that sail about. There is the Leviathan, which you have made to play there. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad to see you here this morning. We thank God this morning for his mercy and for his grace. Amen? Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. You have blessed us with so much. You have given us, Lord, the things that we need the most. And Lord, you who have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray that you would place your hands upon everyone here that is present and those that are not present. And we ask that you would bless them, Lord, in such a mighty way that you would turn their hearts to worship and the focus would be only on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, would you please stand? And if you are a visitor, we want to welcome you to our church this morning. And we hope that something will be said or done that will help you to draw closer to the Lord. At this time, let us greet each other with a wave or a handshake or a greeting. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Carolyn. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay. Now, if you would remain standing for our affirmation of faith,
which can be found in Bulletin 1 in the hymn book 885. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolate and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. Let the people say,
We believe in God the Father, infinite wisdom, power, and love.
whose mercy is all over his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as his divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and health in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice with us and sing.
Hallelujah, oh, we pray.
Let us prepare for our offering this morning. Remember this as you give your gift. Remember what the Lord gave to you. Remember how precious his dear son was. But he gave his son so that we might live. So when he asks us to give a portion back, God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? Doesn't like a grudging. Give what you can, but give it from your heart. We give thanks to you, Lord. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us to give. We thank you for your blessed Son, Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless this offering and may it be used for your purpose. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Our scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God has said, Let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to the death of Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thank you.
good morning again, folks. Let me turn this microphone. I can hear myself talk. Yeah. All right. Now I can hear myself talk. Before we start this morning, we're not going to have children's church, so we're going to go right into the our message. But before we start, I wanted to say this. Prayer is so very important. Amen. I cannot stress the importance of prayer. Please pray. Pray, pray, pray. And I say this because there is a dear lady, one who used to be a member here, bless her heart. She had an accident, and she is now in rehab. And she texted us. Her name is Jane, Jane Vigil. She texted us last night and asked for her prayer, for our prayers again. Amen? Now, when somebody asks for your prayers, that means that they what? They trust you, and they believe that you can get a prayer out to the Lord. Amen? How many of you can get a prayer out to the Lord? Amen. 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 If you can't get one out to, then you need to fix that and go to Him, the Lord, and ask Him for forgiveness. Amen? Now, Jane asked for your prayers. She's recovering, but she says she's having a pretty hard time with it. So please be in prayer for her. Amen? And while I'm up here, let me toot this church's horn a little bit. A guy once told me it's a sad state of affairs when a dog won't wag his own tail. Amen? And sometimes we need to wag our tails a little bit. And let me wag Alamo's tail for you. We have three wonderful, wonderful Bible study and Sunday school classes. And I invite you to take part. Two of them at Sunday mornings, 9:30, Kids Club and the Adult Sunday School. And they just have a wonderful time in those two classes. And also, Wednesday nights, the Oasis Bible study. We are covering the book of Exodus, and it is awesome. So I invite you to come out and enjoy and learn more about the Lord. Because you know what, folks? And on this journey, you're going to have to know something about the Lord. Amen? You're going to have to know something about Him, because if you don't, you're going to fall into a hole and you're going to be led astray. So I invite you to come out and support those Bible study ministries. All right. Now, my wife and I, we have been here at this church for about 8 years. I think five of them we've been here as members, and 3 years going on we're serving as your pastor. And one of the things that I have really learned here at this church is one of the most important things that the Lord is teaching me is patience. Patience, patience. Not patience so much with everybody, but patience with Him. You see, God has His timeline, and we have our timeline. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in our timeline, we forget that the Lord does things on His own time, and He will get it done a whole lot better than we can. So anyway, I just wanted to say those things before I started preaching. So this morning, we're going to talk about a subject that comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. And actually, 1 through 12, but we're going to focus on 5 through 12. And our title this morning is, "What Will This Treasure Do With Me?" What will this treasure do with me? Now, I have this fantasy every now and then, and every now and then I'll get a wild hair and I'll go and buy a lottery ticket. I says, okay, all right, Tessie, we win this $35, $40 million, and boy, we sit down and we plan all what we're going to do with all this wonderful money. Of course, it never happens, amen? But it's a fantasy. But what I'm telling you this morning is that we all look for treasures. And we all, when we get this treasure, we always wonder, what am I going to do with all this treasure that the Lord has given me or that I've won? But this morning, I'm going to give you an injection of truth. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, that every time when someone says, I'm going to speak the truth to you, sometimes we interpret it as something bad and say, uh-oh, here comes something bad. But today, that's not the case. I am going to speak the truth to you, but it's not going to be something that you can get defensive about. Actually, it's going to be something that you can get very happy about. The truth of God is always for our healing and well-being. Always. And as in John 8:32 says, the truth sets us free. We need the truth of God because we live with so many half-truths of just flat-out lies in our heads. The truth of God kind of cleans the windshield so that we can see clearly and have the right expectations of life. What are we going to, what are we expecting from this life? And here's the truth this morning. You have the life of Jesus dwelling inside of you. Let me say that again. You have the life of Jesus inside of you. Now think about that for a minute. Kind of marinate on that and just let that sink in for a minute. Who am I? I've got this light inside of me. What is that? What does that mean, preacher? Yeah. You know, now this is good truth, you know, and it's mind-blowing good news. You have the presence of the living Christ within you if you are a follower of Jesus. And furthermore, this life of Jesus does not leave you nor or abandon you, even when we sin or make a terrible mistake in our human weakness or in our flesh. We've got that life inside of us. And this is a beautiful truth. And we need to understand it. And we need to put it into practice. So as we look, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. And we're going to see exactly what these scriptures are going to teach us about this truth. I want to give you three observations this morning from this beautiful passage of Scripture. Three observations. I want you to notice in these passages that there is no specific command to obey. There's nothing in any of these verses. These verses are descriptive in nature. And Paul is describing what God is doing and then describing here that's playing out in the lives of disciples himself. In other words, he's telling us what God is doing and how this affects the life of the believer. The first observation I want you to see is God does not curse the darkness. God does not curse the darkness. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, he says, for God who said, let us light shine out of darkness, he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. God shines his light into the darkness of our hearts. And that is awesome. That is just a wonderful message. He shines his light into the darkness of our hearts. You see, rather than curse or condemn the darkness, he shines his light into the darkness. And not just the darkness of this world. God also shines his light. He shines it in our hearts. And he shines it into our own darkness. Someone once said, it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness. It's better to light a candle than curse the darkness. This is what the Bible says. It says, instead of cursing the darkness in your heart, he shines his light into it. Instead of cursing the darkness of the world, God sent his son into the world to save it and rather than condemn it. This comes from John 3. 17. So remember, God does not curse the darkness, you know. And the rest of that verse, it says, Jesus is Lord. God does, it says, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ. Paul is saying here that the preaching of Jesus Christ being Lord, he is the Lord of our life, of his life, and he is a servant. You see, this call to call Jesus Lord has some very, very serious consequences. You see, in Paul's day, Caesar was the only one that could be called Lord. Caesar was the absolute authority in the Roman world. No one else. And to call Jesus Lord in those days meant you were preaching, you were proclaiming Jesus to have more authority than Caesar, and this was considered treason. Jesus is Lord, says Paul. But what does Paul say about himself? He calls himself a servant for Jesus' sake. You see, Jesus is Lord, and this is the right perspective that we as believers ought to have. Now, I wonder this morning, dear one, can you say with integrity, can you say that Jesus is the Lord of your life? Is Jesus the one with absolute authority? And do you see yourself as a servant for Jesus' sake? If you do that, if these things are happening, then you are headed in the right direction on your journey. And we need to cheer one another on forward in this one. The second observation I'd like for you to see, that we have something very precious that he's given us, and he's put it in a clay jar. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-suppressing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we are not destroyed. So, we've got this beautiful treasure, but what will this treasure do with me? What will it do with me? You know, when you come into a large sum of money, probably the first thing you're going to ask is, what am I going to do with that money? And then folks around you are going to ask the question, can I get some of it? You know. So that's what you're going to do with the treasure. But here's the thing. Paul describes the presence of Christ in his life as a treasure in a jar of clay. Now think about that a minute. You've got something very valuable and priceless, and you're putting it into something as brittle and as just a jar of clay, you know. And what he thought about the presence of Christ in our life was a treasure. In the kingdom of God, the question isn't, what will I do with this treasure? But instead, the question is reversed. What will this treasure do with me? If you are a follower of Christ, you have the presence of Christ in your life, even right now. You have that same treasure in a jar of clay. And a jar of clay, in this case, is symbolic of the fragility and the meekness of human life. Our lives are basically broken, but instead of us, inside of us is a treasure beyond understanding. And that is the very presence of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So the question isn't what you will do with Jesus. The question is, what is Jesus doing with you? And one of the things that he's doing for is that he is sustaining us. This image of a jar of clay is very powerful. It represents something, as I said, fragile, and it's very easily broken. Yet within this vessel, us, our spirit, our body, there is an awesome treasure of immense value. And this treasure is the life of Jesus within us. Oh, dear one, you just don't know what you have inside of you if you are a believer, a follower of Christ. You have an awesome treasure inside of me. And what in the world was this treasure going to do? You see, God is going to demonstrate his power of Jesus, the power of resurrection, through you and me. This is what he says in 1 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12. He says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. In other words, we are carrying around his body, his death, so that others may see the power of his resurrection through us. This is the awesomeness of that awesome gift, of that treasure that we have. You see, for we who are alive and are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And this is 2 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12. And our final observation is this. You see, it's the phrase we carry around in our body, the death of Jesus means that as Christ followers, we ought to live in a way that reflects the sacrifice and suffering of Jesus. You see, our Lord was always willing to do the hard thing, the dangerous thing. And since he lives within us, that treasure, he's going to lead us to endure hardships, sometimes persecution, and even criticism and other trials, and as we journey in our walk with him. And the rest of that verse, it says, read, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. You know, and this shows us that we endure tough suffering and hardship in a Christ-like way. This is in ways that demonstrates love, courage, and faith. Our endurance actually demonstrates the power of Jesus' resurrection. How you go through your trials and your temptations and the things and the bitterness and the sickness that you put up with, this is going to show that the resurrection of our Lord in our life, so that others may see, hey, you know, this guy is going through some things, but look how he still loves the Lord. It demonstrates the power of our Lord's resurrection. The life of Jesus inside of us gives us hope, eternal life, and it actually becomes visible to others through the way that we respond to and endure our hardships. God loves to demonstrate the power of Jesus. He likes to do it through normal, average people just like you and me. Jesus died and was resurrected, and we are called to die to our old sinful ways and destructive habits. I asked this morning the question, could you get a prayer through to the Lord? And one of the ways that will certainly block a prayer will be sin in your life. You'll have something in your life that you haven't confessed, something that you keep holding on to. That will block a prayer. I challenge you this morning to get rid of that and leave that at the altar. Now let me ask you this question, dear ones. How do you endure hardship and suffering? You know, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty or bring shame. But when you endure suffering and hardship, is your life a mark of the response by love, humility, and courage? If that's the case, this is a witness to the world. That's what the world needs to see. They need to see the Lord working in you. They need to see that treasure that you have. Now, if you respond to suffering and hardship, and it's marked by selfishness, pride, a me-first attitude, or you totally disregard others, that means Jesus has something better in store for you, which you just haven't got a hold of yet. So as we conclude this morning, I want you to remember this. There's a life of Jesus that's dwelling inside of you. And remember that God does not curse the darkness. He shines his light in the darkness. He shines his light upon your heart. And this treasure in your jar of clay, that's what's sustaining you. What will this treasure do with me? It will sustain you and help you to live the life that you so desperately that we all need to live. Enduring hardships and suffering with love, humility, and courage, it demonstrates the power of Jesus' resurrection. So, this morning, which of these do you need to hear most? Which of these do you need to lean into today, to embrace, and to make your own today? And remember this, dear one, you have a treasure. And this treasure is the life of Jesus. You have a light that he wants you to take to the world. And you have something inside you that others need to see. I encourage you and pray that you will remember this treasure and that you will be able to put it into practice. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks to you, O gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. Lord, you told us a beautiful truth this morning, that we have something in our bodies, something in our spirit, and that is your life. Help us, Lord, not to hide it. And if there's anything that's standing in the way of this light, Lord, we ask that you would shine the light of your spirit into the darkness of our hearts. Illuminate it and change us and make us new creatures. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we prepare for the invitation this morning, one of the things that the Lord always challenges us to do is to examine ourselves. When is the last time have you asked the Lord to examine your life? Have you seriously sit down and asked Him to shine the light of His love, of His Spirit into some of the dark areas of your life? Okay, I know you don't have any dark areas. Everything is all right. Well, you may try to hide it from everybody else, but I got to tell you, the Lord sees every little crack, every little corner, everything of our lives. And He knows when things are not right. So if you want to make things right this morning, the invitation goes out to anyone who wishes to come to the altar, or even in your seat, to make things right with Jesus. And when you do this, you're going to leave here knowing that you have an awesome treasure inside of you, the light of Jesus, that you can take to the world and not be afraid that He will be able to sustain you. The altar is open for all who wish to come. Would you please stand?
Our invitation again is pass it on. Please stand.
It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread fresh like spring, you want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. You can depend on it, it matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the the Lord of love has come to me. You want to pass it on. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread His love to everyone. You want to pass it on.
Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when He said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom,
power, glory forever.
And as we go from here today, let us remember to keep all of those who are homebound or ailing in any way in our prayers, and pray for one another. Each of us has some need that perhaps we're keeping it private, but God knows about it, and if we just pray for those with needs, God can pick up the bat and carry it for us. Let us remember to be here next Sunday at the usual time and hear the message that our pastor will bring us. We ask that he and you pray for him especially during this time of challenge. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Would you stand for our closing hymn? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God's so good to me. God cares for me. God cares for me. God cares for me. God's so good to me. God loves me so. God loves me so. God loves me so. God's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God's so good to me.
Go in peace. Say it again, John.